Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. This is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Welcome to the Hannah's Heart family. If it's your first time listening, this is a show for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're going through adoption. However God is building your family and you're trusting Him along that journey, we want to encourage you to cling to Christ through the midst of that. Today, it's just me. My normal co-host, Anne, is still out for a little while. For those of you that missed the episode that we discussed, she's at home healing with her family from an awful tragedy. So please continue to keep her in her prayers as she is grieving the loss of her little baby, John Micah, who is absolutely precious. So, which leads me to be reminded that fall is in the air, and October is pregnancy, infant, and child loss month. So it's a time of remembering that. And if you have ever lost a child in or out of the womb, you know that that loss is with you for the rest of your life. I have some sweet babies in heaven, and it is amazing how the grief will just hit you out of nowhere. And you think, oh, I'm doing good. And then something will happen. And just that reminder, and it's both sweet and painful all at the same time. So I just want to say, for those of you that are still grieving, we see you, and God sees you, and He grieves with you, and He's going to help get you through. I know the holidays are coming up. This is a very difficult time for anybody who's struggling with loss or infertility, and just the desire to be a mama and have another seat at the table filled. So we are praying for you. And in fact, if you'd like to reach out to us, hannahsheart@afa.net is our email address. We've gotten several prayer requests in the last month or two, and I've been delighted to pray with some of you, even on the phone. We love to do that. So sometimes it's just really lonely, and to have one person that's willing to connect with you, and just it silences the enemy's lie that you're alone and that no one understands, because there's an army of us out there, unfortunately, that know the grief that you're going through. And we might not know what it's like for you, but we do know that God is enough and He can get you through whatever it is you're going through. Well, enough of that. Today, we have a guest who is returning to the program. I am so excited to have Beth Forbus. She is the founder, director, creator of a ministry called Sarah's Laughter, which we absolutely love. If you've missed her, we had her on about a year and a half ago to discuss her ministry. And it is so unique, you guys. They've got counseling and small groups that can go through Bible studies on infertility, because you do not want to do it alone. They also have infant loss and miscarriages. They have memorial services where you can release butterflies and have this whole healing process. They've got all the information about that on their website, sarahs-laughter.com. You got to check them out. I'll link to her first episode in the description if you're on our podcast page or any of our social medias. But Beth, welcome back to Hannah's Heart. Too many names.
Thank you so much. And I get called Sarah way more than I ever get called
We get called Hannah on our show too, so I understand.
I you do.
Well, speaking of Hannah, you have just released a book that ties into the story that made us name our show a little bit. You've just released a book called Daily Double Portions. Did I get that right?
You did. You sure did.
So we're going to just jump in. But first, can you give us a quick recap of your personal story with infertility?
Sure. My story is not a whole lot different than a lot of people's. We got married and decided that we would wait a year because, you know, after all, we had our plan laid out. And we, of course, knew that that was going to unfold just like we had it planned.
Right.
But we decided to wait for about a year. and then we would have our first of four children. Mm. But we started trying to conceive, and it, you know, naively I thought I would conceive in the first month and we would have a baby by Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I wanted. But the first month clearly went by with nothing, but it was okay because, you know, everybody can take a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But a couple months turned into 6 months, and it mm-hmm. turned into more and more waiting, and questions started to, you know, bombard my mind. Wait, what's happening here? Because this is not what I had planned. And we ended up going to doctors and getting checked out. Mm. And I began to collect diagnoses like everybody else collects, you know, trinkets or study journals, you know. And we ended up starting a very difficult journey through infertility. Mm. You know, diagnosis of PCOS, diagnosis of endometriosis, and shots and pills and surgeries, and none of it was working. And, you know, I was raised in a pastor's home, so I knew Jesus from the time I was itty-bitty. But infertility is what brought me to my knees in a way that nothing else ever had. But it brought me into relationship with Jesus more than anything else ever had. Eventually, God gave us our daughter. So we are a complete family of three. Mm-hmm. We had a house that had more bedrooms than we had people because we thought we were going to fill them with kids. And instead we filled that house with support groups.
Wow. Oh, praise God.
Wow. Yeah. After my daughter was born, God laid on my heart in a profound way to start a ministry that reached out to people who were going through this same hurt. Mm-hmm. So that as much as we are able, nobody has to walk through this by themselves. I say all the time, infertility is too hard to do by yourself, and the good news is you just don't have to anymore.
Wow.
We've got support groups all over the nation, and even if somebody is in an area where we don't have one, or we'll connect you with support groups from other ministries. That's all right.
That's awesome.
We're cooperating, not competing. But if there's not a support group in your area, then we have online groups that meet, and they're fabulous. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, connections That's awesome. Are made through those groups just like they're in real-life groups. So that's kind of where the ministry got started, just from our own journey through infertility and the fear that it would never happen and the questioning, God, what in the world are you doing with me? You know, and all of those things. And that's kind of what we address in our support groups. Mm. And in our podcast, and the different events that Sarah's Laughter does, we make connections and remind you that God is passionate about your story and your heart, and He's there with you through all of it.
Well, you mentioned your podcast. I remember last time we had you on, Anne was the one that she had been listening to your podcast, and she said it was just so refreshing, and she had felt alone. And then when I met Anne, I remember the same thing, just having somebody else that was going through this. It felt like I had been in a dry desert, and there was just this like stream of water that opened up and was like flowing over me, and that's what community...
That's so good.
Feels like. So thank you for being obedient to the Lord. I love what you said about your house, how you had a plan for each of those rooms, but God kind of redirected that. Like, that's hard because...
Boy, did He.
I mean, like, you had this four-child vision, and even though the Lord blessed you with a beautiful, wonderful daughter who, you know, answered part of that desire, it wasn't the complete picture the way that you saw it, and you were willing to submit to the way that God wanted to use infertility in your life to start a ministry and to fill those rooms in a unique way, which that had to be hard, and I'm sure took a little time.
Well, you know, there were moments where we were sitting in this huge house, and there's three of us, you know, and we're thinking, did I miss you on something, God? Did, you know, because we had that plan for, you know, a house full of kids, and little by little, we started a support group right in my den, and then the next thing I know, the ladies are using, you know, a bunch of the girls from the support group were over at the house and using, like, a dining room area to put bereavement bags together for couples who have lost their babies, and then I look around, and this house was way too big for us.
God knew.
A sunroom that we had. Oh, yeah. A sunroom that we had, you know, we used that to prepare for another event. And, you know, everywhere I looked, there was somebody from the infertility community filling up that house and working to help somebody else.
You know, I was just reading in Romans the scripture that says, you know, that God works all things together for good. And it's so often that people take that scripture out of context, and either they use it to try to help somebody who's grieving and like smack them over the head with it, or or people think, oh, well, I'm gonna get what I want that's good. Well, I was blown away by the second part. If you go on to the next verse, so that's I think Romans 8:28, and if you go on to verse 29, it talks about how God, for those who foreknown, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. So if you have to diagnose and say, what is it that God says is good? If he works all things together for good, what is his definition of good? It is anything that conforms us to the image of his son. And I love what you said about infertility being the tool that God used in your life to conform you to Jesus and to make your relationship strong with him. So, you know, praise God. Praise God.
Yeah. That thing that that felt like punishment, it wasn't, but it felt like it. And the thing that I thought was going to push me so far out of God's good graces, that had to be why I couldn't conceive, right? That's what it felt like.
Right.
But that was actually the thing that drew me in and planted ministry in my heart and the desire to reach out to somebody else and say, no, God loves you and he's using this in your life, not to push you away, but to pull you in.
That's incredible. Well, let's jump into your book because I am so excited. I got a sneak peek of a little bit of it. But so let's talk about the title. Where did you pull that from?
Sure. So I pulled that from the story of Hannah in Scripture because
we like her story.
I bet you do. I bet you're familiar, aren't you?
Yes, but break it down for our listeners.
So, you know, Hannah was struggling with infertility. She was one of us. She could have been in my support group every Thursday. You know, she was going through infertility and struggling and crying till there were no more tears and she had no more voice. And, oh, goodness, there's so many ways that we can relate to Hannah's story. But, you know, she had a husband who loved her, which may not have been the norm in their day. But this husband had two wives. And, of course, the other was very fertile and, you know, was popping out babies all the time. And, you know, Hannah sits there and she's grieving this loss every time her cycle would start, just like us. But her husband loved her and he wanted to do something. And so Scripture tells us how Elkanah would give Hannah a double portion of food when they would sit down for a meal together. He would see to it that everybody was fed, but for Hannah, he gave her a double portion. And it was kind of like he was saying, you know what, I'm taking care of everybody, but this girl has my heart. This girl's my sweetheart, and she's hurting, and I need to do something for her. I need to remind her that I love her. And it was a public way almost of saying, hey, my heart is with you. We're going to get through this. And I got to thinking, you know, God gives us daily double portions too when we're walking through infertility. It might be, you know, a pastor's sermon that just, man, pegs what you've been struggling with. Or, you know, that friend picks up her phone and texts you and her message comes at just the right time. You know, whatever it looks like, I believe those are daily double portions from God to say, hey, girl, you've got this. I'm going to get you through it. You have my heart, and we're going to get through this together. And I got to thinking, you know, that infertility is not something that you experience the day you get your diagnosis or the day you go through your IVF cycle. Infertility is a daily battle. Daily struggle for your emotions, for your relationships, for your marriage, for everything. It's daily. And I believe God gives us these daily double portions. Sometimes we have to just look for them, but they're there. And that's what this book is. This book is 100 devotions for your journey through infertility.
Awesome.
So that you can have a daily double portion. Of encouragement, of reminders that God is with you in this. He hadn't left you. You know, he's right there with you. And so this book is 100 devotions for somebody who's walking through infertility. And, you know, in Louisiana, we talk about lagniappe. Lagniappe is just a Cajun word that means a little something extra. So since I'm from Louisiana, I had to put some Lagniappe in the book.
I love it.
So it's a hundred daily devotions, but we put a special section in the back, 12 days of Christmas daily double portions, because, you know, we know the holidays are hard.
Yes.
I know, you know, we're in October and mm-hmm. fall, and hopefully you're seeing beautiful mm-hmm. leaves out your window mm-hmm. and all these things, but Christmas is right around mm-hmm. the corner,
and
it'll be here before you know it. And so many of us struggle a little deeper mm-hmm. during those holidays.
Everybody thinks, you know, I'll have a baby by Christmas this year. I don't know why. Why is it that Christmas is how we mark but the passing of time?
I don't know, but it is.
It was
when we started trying to conceive. Like I said, I figured I'd get pregnant the first month and be pregnant and have a baby by Christmas. Mm-hmm. Bless my little naive heart.
Yeah.
You know, but so we put a little section in there of daily double portions for you, especially for the Christmas holidays.
Mm. That's so important, to be able to see hope and joy and all of mm-hmm. The characteristics mm-hmm. of God in the wilderness. Because,
absolutely.
You know, you use the word in your title, portion, and mm-hmm. that's all throughout Scripture. You know, the Psalms are full of God saying that He's our portion. And I used to think, when I would hear the word portion, because I come from a big family, so portion to me meant you get, you know, one chicken thigh and wait till your brothers have all had one. And then if there's enough, you can have another. So there was this like limiting aspect of the word portion.
Mm-hmm.
But when mm-hmm. God describes portion, it's a sufficient supply. You know, it's like all that you need. And I think of when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were told to collect manna, and they're supposed to collect uh-huh. enough for just that day. They didn't need to think about the next day because it would spoil. But whatever they got was their portion. That was enough for them for that day. How do you think that God forms our identity and our relationship to God in the wilderness times?
Mm. Well, you know, kind of like the story that you just referenced, you know, while they were in the wilderness, they got to a place where they had to depend on Him.
Mm-hmm.
There were no Walmarts in the wilderness where they could run and, you know, go grab something for dinner.
Yeah.
They got to that place where they had to depend on God.
Mm.
And I think when we're walking through infertility, He can bring us to that place where, you know, there's no more treatment option.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more shot.
Mm.
You know, the money is gone.
Mm.
The doctor has no more ideas. And we have to turn our eyes to Him and say, God, I depend on You.
Yeah.
And it begins to help us see our role in relationship to God.
Mm.
You know, that we are not being pushed away, but we are a beloved daughter
mm-hmm.
who's had a plan for your life written out long before you were even a gleam in your daddy's eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and it helps us to see ourselves in relationship to Jesus.
Mm. And then I think it shifts in our heart from, God, You're barely enough, to that double portion, You're more than enough.
Absolutely.
When our heart's in the right spot.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen the craziest things in infertility ministry. You know, we've seen biological babies born to a woman whose doctor couldn't even find her ovaries.
Right? That's crazy.
You know, and things like that.
That's crazy.
And so when you start to see stories like this and you see somebody sobbing through a support group because the money's not there for the treatment that they need, and all of a sudden a check shows up in their mailbox.
Incredible.
And it's, you know, and all of these, you could just go on and on and on about the miraculous, crazy stuff that God has done through the infertility community. And that, I think, little by little begins, like just like you said, to bring you from a place of, well, God will just barely get me by, to know He is a God of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think He has a twinkle in His eye when He brings these things to pass.
Yeah. And that's when the miracles show up.
To watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in Israel, you know, when they're in the wilderness, look at all the miracles that they experienced during their wilderness time, but they wouldn't have had, God wouldn't have had to split the Red Sea if they hadn't been chased to the Red Sea. Opposition is often what pushes us to the point of dependence upon God.
Right. You know, we've even talked about that in the support groups and in different things that we do. You know, had it not been for fertility,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have dug into scriptures like I have, had it not been for infertility. My husband and I wouldn't have this relationship that we have. Had it not been for infertility, I wouldn't have these sisters of mine that are walking the same journey that, you know, they're going to arrange marriages between their children because they're just going to be connected forever.
Yes.
You know, had it not been for this heartbreak, you never would have seen these miracles come to pass.
Mm.
It's the craziest thing.
That is incredible. Hey, where can they find your book?
Mm-hmm. You can find it on Amazon.
Awesome.
It's under Daily Double Portions. You can find it right there. And we'd be glad to see it get into your hands.
That's awesome. Hey, so let's talk more about what are the things that might hinder us from recognizing when God is trying to give us a double daily portion?
I think you have to be intentional about looking for how God is moving. Mm. And sometimes that hurt can be so deep that you kind of convince yourself that God is not for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think, or even that He's too busy with other things, and this is not, you'll be okay. I've got these things to deal with, you know, and we kind of get the wrong image of who God is, you know, but when, and I think that can, we carry that close. We get the wrong image of who God is, and I think how you see God will affect how you make it through this infertility journey.
Oh, that's so important.
If you believe that He is if you believe He's a God who really doesn't care a whole lot, He loves you and stuff, but He's too busy, you know, dealing with wars and diseases and things like that to care about that little girl sitting in her bathroom crying because her pregnancy test was negative again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you can get a grasp of who God is, as much as we are able, a God who loves you, who is passionate about your story, who calls you before you're even born, you know, who sees you knit together in your mother's womb before that mama even knows that baby's there. God being active in that womb, and, you know, when you can see who God is, I feel like it changes how you walk through this journey.
100%. Like, his character, lean on everything that you know to be true about him in those seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I have a...
And he won't...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he won't make sense to you most of the time.
Yeah.
But when you can learn to trust, you'll get through it.
Mm. Well, I have a little 14-month-year-old right now that God, aww, she's our miracle baby, and the Lord teaches me so much through her.
Oh,
she's
absolutely
in this phase where she will get a hold of something that she's not allowed to have, typically because it will hurt her or is nasty, you know, and I go to try to get it from her, and she takes off running, right? And it's like, sometimes I'm not even trying to get something from her, but she thinks that I am, and she just takes off, right? So sometimes I'll have something that I'm trying to actually give her. You know, it's like I'm trying to, she's teething right now, molars.
Right.
So I'm trying to give her a popsicle, but whatever she's holding in her hand, she thinks that I'm coming to take it. So she will take off running. And I'm like, girl, I am trying to bless you right now, but you're running away from me. And I'm like, I need you to trust that if I take something away, you don't understand why it's going away, but it's because I love you. Everything I do is rooted in because I love you.
Absolutely.
And so, man, God ministers to my heart all the time because we have one miracle baby, and I have a vision of how many kids are around the table, and our family isn't complete in my mind, but we're trusting God for what is next, and are you going to fulfill that desire through another child or through a different means? And so it's a reminder to me that God's like, don't hold too tightly to anything, but trust my character and trust that I'm good, and I want to bless you, and if something doesn't come when you want it, it's because... I see the bigger picture.
Absolutely. You know, talking about that and God's timing is so important, and I know so many people don't want to talk about it. I know. But it's really such a beautiful thing because, you know, your baby is 14 months. What if you had to decide today where she's going to go to college,
who
she's going to marry? There's no way that you could do that.
Right.
But, you know, I've said so many times, you have no idea when your child needs to be born, to interact with people that they need to interact with.
Yeah.
You have no idea when they need to be in first grade because you don't know what teacher they need to have. You don't know today when your child will lock eyes with their spouse the first time.
For such a time as this, you got Esther. Like, she was born for that time in history.
Absolutely, but God knows exactly when that child needs to be born so that they can walk out that purpose that he has for them. You know, and if it just the timing of God in our stories, it can feel hard because most of the time he's not quite ready when we are.
Right.
You know, but it's really such a beautiful thing and such a protective thing. He's good to us in these stories.
Well, Beth, once again, you have blessed us so much. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for Sarah's laughter and everything that you do.
Absolutely.
If anyone's listening and you are alone and you need to connect with one of those support groups, sarahs-laughter.com. Go check them out. And thank you guys so much for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.